One Step Enough by Josie S. Kilpack. When my children were small, the time before they awakened was my golden hour. I would exercise and shower and dress in comfortable yet attractive clothing that would accommodate my busy day, full of carpools and committee meetings and lesson preparation and a conversation or two with other women just like me. We bragged of how busy we were in the tone of fatigue, while I imagined the day when my children would be grown, my house silent, and those conversations caught in snatches could last all day if I wanted them to. These deeds shall thy memorial be. I expected to volunteer in the temple and have my hair set each week and think nostalgic thoughts between visits for my grandchildren. I drained the beans I soaked overnight, the ropey veins of my hands looking bold in the rising dawn that draws out the blue from every corner. Rinse, rinse again. I put the beans back into the pot and cover them with water. My abuela taught me to make beans when I was a young girl. There is no end to spirit, there is no end to race. My children wouldn't eat beans, so I didn't make them much when they were small. I throw in dried onions for flavor. I've been storing them and knowledge of how to cook them for this reality all along. I turn the knob and strike a match to light the burner. I no longer have a working sparker, the mechanism whose only job it is to create a spark when the knob is turned to clicking. I fear we will run out of matches soon. What will I do then? I smile at the question that has run a well-worn rut in my mind since the world turned upside down. I will do whatever needs doing. Go forward, be faithful. The promise is sure. Perhaps I will light from the pilot, or learn how to use the flint and steel Tom found in my son's old scouting things, or trade out something I have with someone who has more matches than they need. Grandma, I spin around to face little Jack, the match still in my hand. My sudden movement startles him, and his eyes go wide. I turn back to light the burner because I cannot afford to waste the match. The burner ignites. I shake out the match while adjusting the flame to start the slow boil necessary for beans to develop a milky texture. It took months for me to perfect this. Would Abuela be proud of my mastery, or disappointed that it took 50 years for me to use what she taught? Proud, I think. Like all who look at us from the other side, fiercely proud of how we've adapted. I imagine my abuela bragging that she was the one who taught me to make the beans that are now a staple in my home. The beauties of thy grace. I ruffle Jack's hair so that he knows I'm not angry. Good morning, little man. He reaches for me, but he's too heavy for me to pick him up anymore. I take one hand, and we walk into the darkened living room where I sit on the couch. That I may in thy love abide. He crawls into my lap, settling in as though the nooks and grooves of my old womb body were made to suit him. Perhaps they were. I've always believed in God's plan for each of his children. Jack is the youngest of the new batch of children I am raising. When his unmarried mother, our neighbor from one side of the duplex 2 doors down, started to show, I had clucked with the other virtuous women, who felt we had every right to cast a sideways glance. How foolish this unkindness. Bear this record, God is love. If Jack's mother had been better received in the neighborhood, maybe she'd not have been so alone and so sick for so long, and I would not be raising her illegitimate son, who has the most beautiful brown eyes I have ever seen, his mother's eyes. Will Jack ever play Little League? Will he go to school? Will he sing primary songs with anyone but us? I focus on what I do know, regardless of whether the world turns right side up again, and thus renew our love and faith. My journey is different, but my destination is not. Tom came over 3 months after his wife's cremation to convert my gas fireplace into a wood-burning one, so I would have a source of heat separate from city utilities. I made him dinner. The bishop married us in my backyard between quarantines. I baked a cake. We ate it by candlelight before we went to bed and found comfort in one another. Peace and plenty here abide. Tom's grandchildren came to stay a few months after we married. Then my daughter brought her family when their work ran out. She and her husband argue at night, and I hold my daughter when she cries. I talk of Emma and Soraya and the other women who did not get the future they felt promised. Sometimes the stories anger her. Sometimes they give her strength. We can do hard things, I remind her. She goes back down the hall to her husband to try again. Work and watch and fight and pray with all your might and zeal. Jack wants me to tell him a story of those who came before, those who became strong because of struggle, not in spite of it. He likes Paul and Harry Potter best. Come, little child, and together we'll learn. Tom comes in from our bedroom. I pause long enough to share a morning kiss above Jack's head. Tom stopped going to church years ago. Today, he is helping a neighbor prune his peach trees. Last week, he put his arm around another brother in the ward whose wife of 40 years succumbed. Teaching the children how to weed a garden and say please and thank you is how he lives the gospel now. Within my heart a welcome guest, within my home abide. On Sunday, he blesses the sacrament at our dining room table, the altar in our home. When the fear overtakes any of us, he puts his hands upon our heads and reminds us of our purpose and God's love. I live my faith through baking bread and telling the children about Ammon and George Washington and Esther and Oprah. I knit and economize and teach what I know to the young ones. We take long walks and watch birds and clouds and shooting stars. I trade hard cuts for tomatoes and learn to love the neighbor I merely tolerated before, showing what his grace imparts. The children play and laugh and work and help without realizing how much they teach us. They do not feel robbed, and instead live today for its own sake and trust that tomorrow will be good. Jack falls back to sleep in my arms as the room lightens to a new day. Tom begins to chop wood in the backyard. My ministering sister will come today. She always comes on Monday. We will speak through the screen door and enjoy the visit. Our mutual friendship renew. Tom's axe chops and chops and chops. The pot of beans on the stove bubbles and hums. I sit with Jack in my arms because the gift we have is time and story and faith in a plan known only to him. Life goes on. We learn. We love. One step enough for me.